It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo as usual position at the control panel. Go through some scores from last night. Of course, the game that you heard live on Q92 last night, a wild one. We'll talk to Tony Smith here in a little bit, but close at halftime, 22-12, but ended up 52-22. And Dawson Boyd, our next opponent, had no problem with the Yellow Medicine East, shutting him out 49-0. Russell Tyler Ruthton over Sleepy Eye United, 20-6. Canby in a close one over McRae, 10-6. St. James defeated our last week's opponent, Gibbon Fairfax Winthrop, 6-0. Murray County Central lost to Springfield. That's Murray County Central's the team that Dawson Boyd just beat last week, 7-0. But they lost 33-15 to Springfield. Maple Lake started another losing streak, losing to Ashby, Brandon, Evansville, close one, 18-16. Annandale all over Glencoe Silver Lake, 46-0. Melrose in a slugfest over Sauk Center, 46-40. Osakis defeated Minnewaska, 43-15. Dakota, in a comeback, he had a scare against Eden Valley Watkins that went back and forth a number of times, 37, and Minneota winning 37-30. Montevideo got shut out by Morris Area. Redwood Valley over KMS 45-0. Piers over Foley 24-0, and Ortonville lost to Underwood 42-6. Well, that brings us up to our game last night, and basically, anything bad that could happen or probably happened, and some wild and great plays by both teams, Tony.
Yeah, Mr. Lowry and I were talking after the game with just kind of the first 2 weeks here. It feels like the Twilight Zone with just kind of the different things that are going on. The 6 o'clock start to get the night going. And we got the opening kickoff and weren't able to do anything with it. And as you said, it was a wild first half. I don't think there was any scoring in the first quarter. But there was some action going on. And then in the second quarter, they scored. And then we answered back. So it was 8-0. They were up. And then we answered back. Jay Stalina had a nice long run and got a set up. And Jackson Fernald's hit Nolan Smith on a 1 yard touchdown pass, and our 2 point conversion was not successful. So it was 8-6, and they answered back then, and then it was 14-6, and we scored on a super long pass, throw and catch. Jackson hit Gavin Mortensen in the flat, and he rambled 75 yards for a touchdown. Our 2 point conversion was unsuccessful, and so at that point it's 14-12, and they scored just before half, and unfortunately we had a breakdown. They had a second long, and we were in our 5-man front, and we had a breakdown with our coverage. We did not communicate very well there, and they were able to hit a longer pass down the sideline, and then they scored with like 4 seconds to go in the half to make it 22-12 at halftime. And, as we walked into half, it was you know, there were some things for us to build on, some encouraging things. The ball had gone back and forth. We had done some nice job. We knew going into the game that they wanted to run the football. They've got a nice set of running backs, and they've got some big fellas up front. And I thought we did a very nice job with them offensively. You know, we took away their inside game, and then they tried to get to the outside. We widened out our linebackers a little bit, and that helped out. So that took that away. And then they started throwing the ball into the flats. And we had a tougher time adjusting to the play action, bring the linebackers up, and then they were running guys across the formation and into the flat. So in the second half, we moved to a four-man front, which gave us another linebacker to help with some of that. And for the most part, I think we had some success there. Really, the name of the game in the second half, unfortunately, again, for us was the turnover bug got us. It wasn't for a lack of effort. It wasn't for a lack of going out there and going, you know, I'm going to give this one away. We just didn't execute. And talk about consistency, and we're just not able. You know, we look good for 2, 3, 4 plays, and then we take a couple of steps back, and whether we're offense or defense, we just can't get that momentum going. And right now, with the injury bug that has happened, last night we had Brant Schomer go out in the first half. He did have a separated shoulder. They did put that back in place, and he's home. Thor was went to the clinic or the hospital for a concussion test. So we lost those two guys. So, you know, we were, again, building on some guys that probably weren't expecting to play a whole lot, and there they are getting a lot of time. So, you know, it's in Lakeview's experience. They're big. They got a lot going for them. And I thought we matched them very well in the first half, and we just couldn't muster much in the second half there. We'd have a big play or two. You know, Morton set in a nice long run on the kickoff return and couldn't cash that one in. And there was another time we recovered a fumble, and we were inside of their 25, and we couldn't get that. So looking back, you can look at the glass half empty or half full, I guess. I'm going to choose to look at it half full. And we have some opportunities. We just need to, figure out a way to make that work.
Yeah. Well, you do have some pretty impressive statistics there.
Yeah. Offensively, Jackson Fernals was 5 of 11 for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. Receiving, Gavin Mortensen had 3 receptions for 87 yards and a touchdown. Like I mentioned, that long one. Brant Schomer had 1 catch for 7 yards, the one that he got hurt on. And then Nolan Smith had 1 catch for 1 yard and a touchdown. Running the ball, Jay Staline had 10 carries for 80 yards. His long of the night was 45 yards. That got us into scoring position. Gavin Mortensen had 5 carries for 44 yards. Jax Wells had 1 for 8. Jackson Fernals had 7 carries for 8 yards. Adrian Specht had 2 carries for 1 yard. And Brant Schomer had 1 carry for 1 yard. Defensively, we talked about, Gavin's kickoff return and his touchdown run, but defensively he was all over the place too.
Oh, for sure.
He had 11 tackles, 5 assists. He recovered 3 fumbles and caused 2 of them. So,
that's playing from a safety position.
Yes, and he's willing to come up and bloody his nose a little bit if he needs to. Jax Wells had 5 tackles and an assist. Adrian Specht, who's a sophomore as well, who's getting some experience at the linebacker position, had 5 tackles. Elias Alonso had 3, one of them being a tackle for loss. Talon Kranz had 3 tackles, and I thought for him, he was getting his nose involved. They had a long run on their opening play of the second half, and he filled it beautifully. He just got a little too high on the tackle, and that kid's strong enough, and he broke the tackle and went the rest of the way. The official on our side said, "Who's 56? So I told him, he said, "Man, he filled that hole beautifully." But I said, yeah, he tried to tackle him around the neck and not around the feet. And he just kind of chuckled. But, yeah, I thought he did some nice things. Jace DeLean had three tackles, solo tackles, five assists. He also recovered a fumble. Kaysen Heineke had two tackles, two assists. Douglas Bruner had two tackles, an assist, and a tackle for loss. And I was watching film this morning. Douglas, who's playing defensive tackle, in the first half made a play about 35 yards downfield on a run for Lakeview. And that's, you know, that's the effort. And we're not lacking in that department. We just need to figure out a way to execute better and become efficient in our craft. Thor had a tackle. Jackson Fernals had a tackle. Nolan had one tackle and one assist. Evan Schliemann, who I thought did some nice things getting in there, a sophomore, had a tackle. Matthew Sherman had one tackle and five assists. He had the honor of dealing with that 315-pounder most of the night.
At center.
Nick Hoffman had a tackle. He's a freshman, stepped in there. Angel Mejia had a tackle and two assists. Alex Nyan had an assist, and Gus Holm was in on an assist. Tucker Lines had an interception. Returning on kickoff returns, Gavin Mortensen had five returns for 90 yards, the long one being the 57-yarder. He got to the sidelines. He said, "I'm just not fast enough." And I said, "Well, I don't know about that, but you've been all over the field today. You've covered a lot of grass." Jay Saline had two returns for seven, and Brant Schomer had one for 10. You know, so going into it, we knew that they were going to try to run the ball, and I thought, like I said, in the first half, I thought we did a nice job, and then they mixed it up a little bit and started to get the ball in the flats, and that's the chess match of football, and we got to figure out how to balance some of those things and get our guys in the right place.
Well, it really doesn't get any easier. You go against Dawson Boyd, who has shut out both the opponents so far, 7-0 last week, but very, very easily over Yellow Medicine East last night. But the nice thing is it's also a rivalry. You can kind of throw away the records there. They compete on the field, and when they're done, they probably sit down and talk to each other, because in a number of sports they are co-op with Dawson Boyd and Lacaparo, and they're friends, but between the lines they're competitors.
Absolutely, and you're right. It's a competition game, obviously. Lacaparo County and they've gotten the best of us a number of times, but you know, we'll go back to the drawing board. We'll put some stuff together and go. Actually, they're coming to our place on Friday, yep. And we'll compete. This past week, the junior high went to Graceville and played Border West, and they won 36-6, I believe. The JV had the week off, and to be honest with you, after the game, I talked with Scott Hansen, the head coach at Lakeview, and I just told him, you know, I said, with the injury bug that we got going on and trying to get guys ready for the varsity, we're not going to play our JV game on Monday at Lakeview.
Okay.
And he understood that. I talked to him a little bit before the game, and he said, you know, why was number 12 not in the game in the second half against GFW? I said, well, he broke his leg. He said, well, when did that happen? So we explained that a little bit. So he was over there talking to both Gavin and Grant. And yeah, he's a high school principal, so he gets all of that. And so, no, we're not going to be playing our JV game on Monday. We got to try to get ourselves ready to go for Friday night and hosting Dawson Boyd.
Yeah. Well, both JV teams were on the field probably the last 6 minutes of the game. It went by fast because of the running time, but that was a pretty even one big play, but they nicely took a knee with the very last play of the game to avoid another touchdown.
Yeah, that was classy, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, they got in the last little bit, and you know, some of these guys are getting some game time reps anyway, And so we'll, like I said, we'll put ourselves get ourselves together on Monday and get to practice and be as ready as we can for Friday night.
Junior high plays this week?
Junior high does play. They play on Tuesday night, I believe, at home against Lakeview.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anything else?
Nope. As we get ready for homecoming coming up here in a couple of weeks, you know, those festivities are already being planned. And I just want to wish the rest of the fall sports the best of luck the rest of the year.
Okay. Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break, and John Sherb's in the studio talking cross country after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
I'm with Monica Boffin from Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, you got a big anniversary coming up.
I sure do, Paul Ramos, September 10th through the 13th, and on the 12th, I'm serving hot chicken sandwiches to go. Come in and celebrate with Monica on 18 years of business. Grab a dark chocolate sea salt caramel and check out all the new fall fashions. Vacation room is full of color for all vacation needs. A lot of shoes, boots, coats, vests, and great crossover bags have arrived. Daily drawings and giveaways. My hours are Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. See you soon and like me on Facebook.
Lee Motor Company, your Northland Ford dealer located East Highway 212 in Dawson, invites you to stop in and check out their great selection of new and used vehicles. A few recent trades include a 2023 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive, leather and moonroof, only 14,000 miles on it. Or how about a 2023 Ford Explorer XLT sports package with only 18,000 miles? Or a 2017 Chevrolet Silverado 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 LTZ with leather, 18,995 miles. On it. Check these and the other great new and used units on the lot now at Lee Motor Company, your Northland Ford dealer, East Highway 212 in Dawson, or go to www.leemtrco.com or call 320-769-2365.
Larry's in Ortonville in Madison isn't just your local heating experts. They are Lennox dealers. Your comfort is their passion, and they help you enjoy greater...
The day before the fair and stuff like that, maybe change the schedule a little bit for next year. But good results up in Benson, John.
Yeah, and that was the fun part up there. I kind of like having this week open for meets. We used to always go to Tracy Milroy. We went to Wadena. We went to a lot of places this week, and I don't like doing it just with the county fair. I want these kids we have kids that are involved in 4-H that are showing. I want them to worry about that, so I don't like having that conflict. But it worked well with our kids to be able to do it. So we were able to run up in Thursday up in Benson. The weather, just you talk about a change of weathers up there, because we get up there, and all of a sudden I start looking at my phone. It's like we're in a high wind watch up there from 4 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's always good to be on a golf course with high winds coming through. And it was sprinkling a little bit here and there, so we just kind of see everything else. And we had some interesting weather during one of the races. But it was good. The course is not as challenging as the Appleton Golf Course, and that's the thing you look at. it's also kind of a nice meet where we can be very, very competitive. I mean, we'll be competitive all meets, but this is one where you really have the top, be an upper echelon. And I thought our kids ran really well, a lot more confidence. I thought the younger kids really looked a lot better and a lot sharper, and they a little more aggressive at times, which was good to see. And so really worked well there. They ran a 3K course up there on the junior high. In the junior high girls, we had Cambry Larson was 17th at 14:50. Macy Claven was 20th at 15:34. Chelsea Clark, 14th at 14:38. She got a better start. I know she was getting ribbed a little bit about that, needed a little better start. I know her dad was giving her a hard time on it, too. Just, you know, you learn how to handle the races. If you don't get out fast enough, then you have a lot of people to pass. And I thought she got out and worked well. Ainsley Granholz was 22nd at 15:43. Cora Nelson was 24th at 19:40. And Skylar Stock was our top runner, and she finished 11th at 14:14. Just really, really a nice race with her. She had some drive to go home. She got out a little hotter, got a little uncomfortable a little bit in the middle part of the race, but then that last 250 meters ago, she got up on her horse and got in. So that was really a nice finish for her. So, again, they're learning. That's a lot of seventh graders we have in this crew that are good. You know, plus, also, we scored as a team. I did not write down the score, but I think we were third or fourth on girls junior high. So that's kind of nice to get, you know, you get a score with seventh and eighth graders. And boys, seventh, eighth grade ran the same course. Uriah Specht had his smoothest race of the season so far of the early career, and I thought that's probably, even of his last year this year, I thought that was probably the sharpest he's also looked too. And so again, learning, understanding it. He was sixth overall at 12:53. Landon Scullerwood was 13th at 18:26. Into the JV, and now they ran JV boys and girls. Well, they ran JV with the varsity, and so that's where they kind of made a little bit of a quicker meet up there, to kind of nicer. So it was, you didn't know how well you placed in JV because you're running against everybody just kind of when they separated it down, and you had that. So JV girls, we ended up going 1-2-3 in the JV girls. Alyssa Swinski was our top runner. They ran the 5K at 25:33. Morgan Anderson was second at 25:41. And then Shea Bothan was third at 27:06. So, again, good reps for those guys. I thought they're, again, they've really have come along nicely because, you know, again, you get two seniors in there that are running really, really well. And I just, you know, again, if they keep going, we'll be fine with that. So since they were combined with the varsity, it was a good for the varsity race to have them, just because then we had all of them together. They had a little bit of a weather issue. We got into that start of the run, and all of a sudden it was sprinkling a little bit and everything else. And then all of a sudden they got, wasn't even half a mile into the race. And it just, the rain came down, and it was sideways wind with rain. And I know, like, Brynn was on the front, so I kept looking at the girls. The girls were squinting, trying to see if they could see where they're going. And then all of a sudden, you get another half mile into the race, gone. It just what had that come through, and then it being a nice second half of the race for the kids. But so we had that kind of that scenario. But, you know, I, again, ran really well. Brynn was second overall, had a really nice race with a bold girl, and that's good for her because, you know, like I said, we're trying to fight with her with her asthma. She sports asthma she has, so she's evaluating that better. And the conditions were better for her to race. And so she got a race where she was in competitive. I know she was a little frustrated herself with the last half mile of the race, but that's learning. At least you're getting into the race. Now you're racing. Now you're starting to get that time down a little bit. And then I thought she looked very, very comfortable in that. We'll just work things as we go. But second overall, 21:38. Chloe Glegge was right behind her in fourth at 22:09. Laura Sharara was seventh at 22:43. Sadie Rosenau was eighth at 22:43. Talia Hursom was 10th at 23:39. Harper Grunnels was 12th at 24:49. And Makai Poos was 13th at 24:58. Again, you know, we put five girls in the top 10 times. It's not like it was not that deep, but it was still decent time. So, I mean, a lot of these kids ran really good times. And I think Tolly's, that's got to be near her personal best for a time. So she's coming in at the right time with this and just building up it. And it turned into a two-dog race. It turned into Monty and us were the only two complete. Benson will be tough down the road. They've got they got five really good junior high girls that may get moved up later, so they'll have a competitive team later. But we had went with 22. Monty was second with 35. So pretty really good scenario for the kids. Got a nice read, got a chance to work off each other, and so it was good to see the varsity girls handle that. boys, same thing did on the girls. They ran that 5K course, and then they also ran the JV and varsity together. On the JV boys, Aaron Will was second overall, 22-19. That's got to be, and I'm guessing on this, I'm thinking he's probably 2.5 minutes off his personal. That's how much he improved from his personal from last year to this year. So he really has really grown into himself a little bit nicely. And, you know, we talk about these ninth graders. He's a ninth grader. So that's a good mix in there. So we can hopefully get some more, you know, seasoning with him. It'll be interesting where he can go. So he was second overall. The varsity boys, you know, we knew it was going to be an interesting race. You know, Monty beat us by four. Benson has been kind of the dark horse. You know, they were there at our meet, but I did not. I know they had one kid out. I know the coach told me before they had one kid out that's back. And so you're going to really have three teams in there. And so it was a very, very good competitive race for the boys. And, you know, so I thought the kids ran well. Tanner Callis is learning as he's really is coming along nicely. You know, the next step will be that to break that 19-minute barrier, and that's his next goal to get. It will come when it comes. I think it will come big when he goes. So he was fourth overall at 19.04. Colin Rosendahl was fifth at 19.11. Then we end up having Matthew Bothan eighth at 19.21. Landon Keeman was 11th at 19.48. Brody Nelson was 21st at 20.51. Kentaro Serraro was 23rd at 21.08. And then Colden Heineke, we got him back now. He was, again, he hasn't had a lot of training, which I'd like to see a little bit more for his first race, but he felt comfortable, wanted to get him on the course and just see where he's at. He finished 29th at 22.33. So, again, another good level. Again, we're incorporating a lot of ninth graders. And scoring-wise, it came down to we tied with Benson. We were both tied at 46. Then you go to the sixth person, and unfortunately we got beat at the sixth person, but I think we were beat by about 40 seconds right in that area. So we lose in a tiebreaker. But like I told the boys afterwards, I said, that's why when I always tell you with that last, you know, 100 meters, 200 meters go, you got to get who you can get because that can slide you. And we had some kids that were in spots where they had some kids around them that you beat the one kid. Now you end up going from a tie to winning. And so that's the part of the understanding that you got to have that drive because when you're incorporating, you know, now we had four ninth graders running varsity. And so, and then with the three seniors. So that's, you know, the learning experience comes out. Even the seniors, of our seniors, only two of them have any varsity running experience. So you look at how we've kind of incorporated that, and these kids had done really well. So, you know, I thought it was a very good meet there. You know, scoring, you know, we had Benson, us, we were tied for second. Then Monty was third. Ortonville was fourth at 64. Monty at 60. And then Bold was there. So it really wasn't a big meet, but it was a really, really good meet for us to see where we're at and to fill in.
Okay. Next week.
Next week, we kind of start getting into a little of a busy run. Next week, we go Thursday Spicer, which is a really, really big meet. I know they sent a message out that they're probably going to add a couple more teams, and they want no numbers. So that's going to be a really, really large meet. And that will be one where you could get lost as a kid in the race, where you don't get a decent start, and you got 75 people in front of you. And now you can't find an opening to really pass and work, so you waste a lot of energy. But also you can get caught up in the herd, and next thing you know, you're in the top 25, and you don't belong there. So it's going to be a very, very interesting meet where they can kind of learn a little bit all levels, and that will be the fun part there. And then that's, I think it's a 4:30 start over there at Spicer, and that's at Little Curl. Yeah, you know, that one is also a little different of getting to because now, see, years past, we always used to get off at the clubhouse. Well, you know, they remodeled, they put that really, really nice hotel there with the clubhouse and everything else. So now we're on that southwest corner where our start is and our finish is all at, and that's where you got to drop and park. It's a zoo getting in, getting out. So that will be kind of the interesting, if anybody comes to watch that, that'll be kind of the fight there. But again, it'll be a challenging meet. That'll be the fun one, just to kind of get on and see where we're at level. So that will be that. And then on Saturday, we go to Millbank, which is always a fun one. Millbank, I know the kids don't like the Millbank one because it's so early in the morning, they can't get out of bed and do anything. It's like going, you got to get up and do something. So we'll race over there on Saturday morning, which will be fun over there because now you go over there to do scoring. You see a Millbank program is very, very good, and so it kind of gives us a chance to see teams and we can compete against over there and find all different levels. So that'll be fun to go over Millbank on Saturday and then go with that.
They only
Score four. Yep. Score so up four. There, for yeah. team scoring, you only score four over South Dakota. So that'll be the kind of the interesting for us. And we'll do very well. I mean, you know, yes, we are, you know, the girls are pretty sound through four, and the boys are sound, but we're young on level. So yeah. we're still a good chance to compete over there and see where we can fit in because, again, you get a lot of those smaller schools over South Dakota that are tougher than heck. They may be a school where they only have like 20 kids in a grade. But boy, can they run! And you can. I've seen some good ones. It's tough. So it'll be a good experience for us to go over there and get that challenge on that one. So we've got a busy week this next week.
Okay, well, we'll be able to find out the results of the New London Spicer meet on the next Coaches Show. But in 2 weeks, we can find out about the Milbank one along with whatever.
Yeah, because the Milbank one, then we'll pull the Madison one because that yeah. following Tuesday will right. be the Madison one, which will be. That'll be a big one too. So on that Tuesday, so okay. that's gonna be our, as I always say, our pre-section meet, and so you can kind of see where you sit. So that'll be coming up here, you know, basically in whatever 10 days it is. So we'll have that. So that'll be interesting.
And it's our turn to host the section this year.
Yep, I get the lovely night of not getting to sleep as much, and I'll see if my residency they can send my mail to the golf course because it seems like I'll be living out there. But oh, one other thing I want to mention too. Sure. Last night I went up to Moorhead. Mason Bramer. I was going to watch Mason and Gavin run, but Gavin's got a calf injury. I talked to him a little bit up there. And just see how he's feeling. He thinks he'll be able to race in a week or so or 2 weeks, so he's back with his calf. But I get a chance to run Mason. I haven't had a chance to watch him run all his time. He's been nicked up in injuries throughout his last couple of years. He runs for Valley City, and he ended up PRing. I think he ended up PRing about a minute and a half in a 6K race. Looked very, very good. Looked sharp. That's probably, you know, he's been a very good, you know, state competitor for us and everything else throughout the years. That's, like I said, that's the stride and everything else. He looked very, very good. I know they had a back issue. They had a thing that they did some surgery on him, get him to clean up a little bit. That's what was affecting. He had a pinch. I don't know if it was a growth or whatever, but Mason looked very good up there last night. I did write it down. He was actually 40th in the collegiate level there, finished at 18:38 for a 6K. So very good to see him doing that. So that's nice to see him have success that way. And also, I didn't tell him I was coming. All of a sudden, he heard me during the run, and then afterwards, he looked at a big smile on his face. You didn't tell him. I said, I don't tell you. I just happened to get lost. I left practice and headed north. Next thing I'm in Moorhead. So that's just the way it is. And his parents were in. Saw a lot of college kids up there, too, that are up to school. So it was really fun up there just to see that and watch that race. So he's going in, and hopefully Gavin will. I'll get a chance to get lost to see him sometime, too.
Good, good. Okay, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck. And we'll hear all about the New London Spicer event next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on cross country. We will have the volleyball report after this.
Minneota Box Elder Bug Days is September 5th through the 7th, Friday through Sunday. Come on over and celebrate the only bug that is welcome in Minneota. It's 3 days of action-packed fun. New entertainment for 2025. Check out Whiskey Rich. And back by popular demand, Kayla Daniels, Up South, Allie Gray, and the Jefferson Street Band. Then a street dance from 9 to 12:30 with Casey Musignan. Free inflatables sponsored by Minneota Solar Project. And don't forget the Grand Parade on Sunday at 1. Check out a complete list of events at boxelderbugdays.com. Minneota Box Elder Bug Days is Friday through Sunday, September 5th through the 7th. See you in Minneota.
Larry's in Ortonville and Madison isn't just your local heating experts. They are Lennox dealers. Your comfort is their passion, and they help you enjoy greater comfort and lower energy costs. Whether you need your heating system service to keep your home comfortable or need new Lennox equipment, Larry's team is there to help you make sure your air is perfect. Many local utility companies offer rebates for both new equipment and preventive maintenance. Larry's has been certified as a quality installer with many local utility companies, which means you could receive an additional rebate by choosing Larry's for your new HVAC equipment. Contact Larry's Refrigeration and Heating in Ortonville and Madison today. Air is life. Make it perfect.
At Sandhill Mill, we believe the best meals start with the finest ingredients, grown local, milled fresh, and crafted with care. Our stone-ground flours and mixes bring out the flavor you'll taste in every bite. Whether you're baking bread, whipping up pancakes, or making your grandma's favorite recipe, Sandhill Mill flour makes it better. Specializing in ancient and heritage grains, We have many different wheat varieties to supply flour or wheat berries for all your baking needs. Visit us online at sandhillmill.com to shop our selection of products so you can nourish like you mean it.
The Lacaparral County Fair in Madison is happening September 4th through the 7th. The American Dairy Association of Lacaparral County invites you to stop by their malt wagon across from the grandstand. They aim to please with their many choices of flavors. The wagon is sponsored by the American Dairy Association of Lacaparral County, a nonprofit organization with all of their proceeds going to help Lacaparral County benefits and for promotion of dairy products. Again, stop by the malt wagon at the Lacaparral County Fair, sponsored by the American Dairy Association of Lacaparral County.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lacaparral Valley Volleyball with Head Coach Amber Lee. And good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, a couple matches to talk about the Eagles had this past week. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yep, we played Benson on Tuesday at Benson, and then we played Hancock in Hancock on Thursday.
Oh, two road games.
Yep, we got one more road game, and then we finally get another home game next Thursday.
Nice, nice. Okay, well, tell us how you did.
We're improving each game we play, so that's encouraging. We lost both matches last week, but they were all close. For Benson, we went four sets. First game was 25-22. We won the second one with 25-17. And we lost the third 25-23, and the fourth match 25-22. Oh. A fun little fact with this, as I was talking to Bart Hill, he said that both teams scored 92 points. So I think we should call it just a tie.
Bart's always thinking that way, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
That was good. All right, stats on that match then?
Yep. For serves, we had ace serves from Callie Kahn. We had three from Maya Swatsky, one from Marley Ludvigson, and two from Maya Mortensen. For kills, Abby Amlin led us with six, along with Carson Nabel had six. Faith Meyer had five. Callie Kahn had five. Maya Swatsky had five, Sophia Leah had two, and Marley Ludvigson had one. Then we went into digs. Abby Amlin had 10. Carson Whitnable had eight. Maya Swatsky had 12. Marley Ludvigson had eight. Maya Mortensen had 20. And Ashton Shelstead had 13, and Peyton Sachs had seven. We had Marley and Maya setting for us, and Maya had 17 set assists, and Marley had 11. And then Ashton Shelstead also had one. So let's kind of round out our stats for the Benson game.
How did JV do against Benson?
JV lost, okay. And C-Squad won. Right. So that was their first match.
Okay, who's your coaches again for JV and C-Squad?
JV is Morgan Jaeger, and C-Squad is Morgan Stark.
Okay. All right. Takeaways of the Benson match, what did you do well against Benson that you feel like you did well in?
Yeah, our hitting has improved. It's always a good thing, and our passing is getting better. So I think we've got to work on all the little things now, putting everything together. Like I said before, we have a bunch of new girls on the court together, and they're still learning how each other plays. So we're getting there.
Okay, good. So then you went up to Hancock, I believe, on Thursday. That's always a tough place to play, isn't it?
Oh, I hate that gym. It's so small, and the crowd is right on your back, and, yeah, it's a tough gym to play in.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, yeah. Owls have a pretty good team.
What was that?
The Owls have a pretty good team.
They're not bad. Okay. They got a really good outside hitter that can really put the ball away and is strong at the block. And, yeah, she does a really nice job, and she plays all the way around. So okay. She was tough.
All right. Tell us, they got the stats there in front of you, Amber?
Yep. I'm going to start off with serves again. Callie Kahn had three ace serves. Abby Amlin had one. Maya Mortensen had two. And Ashton Shelstead had one. For kills, Callie Kahn had 11. Carson Whitnable had 10. Abby Amlin had 5. Faith Meyer had 5. Maya Swatsky had 4. And Sophie Via had one. For blocks, we had a great time at the net there. Callie Kahn had 5 blocks by herself. Mm. Maya Swatsky had 3. And Sophie Via had 3. I think they got that mixed up. I think Faith Meyer had 3. Sorry about that.
Okay.
A solo box. Dix, Callie Kahn had 7. Carson Whitnable had 5. Abby Amland had 6. Faith Meyer had 1. Maya Swatsky had 10. Sophie Lea had 2. Maya Mortensen had 3. Ashton Shelstead had 17. Marley Ludvigsen had 10. And then setting for us, Maya Swatsky had 14. Ashton Shelstead had 2. And Marley Ludvigsen had 17.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Nope, that rounds out our stats for Hancock.
Okay. What did you do well in that match, Amber?
Our hitting really looked a lot better. We did a good job placing the ball into, you know, their holes, and our blocking was really good, so that was fun to see.
Okay, good. JV and C-Squad against Hancock?
C-Squad split, and we got there kind of late, so they only played 2, so they won 1 and lost 1. And B-Squad lost in 3, so those were all tight matches there, too.
Okay. All right. So what's coming up this week for the volleyball team?
Tuesday we play YME at YME. Thursday we are at home versus TMB. And Saturday we are in Benson for a tournament.
Okay. And I'll be over there in Granite Falls on Tuesday broadcasting the Lac Parle volleyball match. Looking forward to that, Amber.
I am too. It'll be fun.
Yep. Yeah, so you got a tournament next weekend then, huh?
Yep. Next Saturday we play in Benson.
Okay. The number of teams there, or just a few teams, or do you know?
I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, you show up and you'll find out, right?
Yes, that's right. I think last year when we went there, we played 3 matches.
So. Okay. Good. Well, good luck this week, and we'll see you Tuesday in Granite Falls then.
That sounds great. Thanks, Paul.
You bet. Amber Lee, head coach of the Lac Parle Valley volleyball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
I'm with Monica Boffin from Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, you got a big anniversary coming up.
I sure do, Paul Ramos. September 10th through the 13th. And on the 12th, I'm serving hot chicken sandwiches to go. Come in and celebrate with Monica on 18 years of business. Grab a dark chocolate sea salt caramel and check out all the new fall fashions. Vacation room is full of color for all vacation needs. A lot of shoes, boots, coats, vests, and great crossover bags have arrived. Daily drawings and giveaways. My hours are Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. See you soon and like me on Facebook.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. That pretty much concludes our show for this week. Dr. Hacker had one event scheduled, but it was canceled due to weather or whatever. So he'll have some more events to talk about next week. So go down to the fair and have a great time Saturday and Sunday. It is a great county fair, like the word says. It's a little Minnesota state fair for a county fair. It's great with all the great midway rides in that. They're nice crew and the rodeo and all the entertainment. Once you get into the pay admission to get in, everything is free except for the races and grandstand events. So, and that concludes our show. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Great music for Appleton, Holloway, Lewisburg, and Hentho right here on 92.1 FM Q92.